Well, you have a cough, shortness of breath, or a sore throat. You can get it tested to find out if you have COVID-19, but what if it's something else, or even a combination of viruses? Andrew Cameron is hoping to develop a way to find out exactly what's going on. He's an associate professor of biology at the University of Regina and also the co-director of the Genome Prairies COVID-19 Rapid Regional Response Project. Try fitting that on your business card. He joins me right now to explain all the research that he's involved in right now. Good morning, Andrew Cameron.
Good morning.
Well, tell me, why do you want to find out if someone doesn't just have COVID-19 but other viruses when everybody in the world seems to be focused right now on just COVID-19 alone?
Because there's so many viruses circulating. Even in summer, we have many viruses that can circulate. But particularly as winter is approaching and it's going to get cold and we're going to head indoors, then we know from every year of past experience that more respiratory infections are coming. And there's a great many different viruses and even bacteria that can cause those infections.
So what is it you're proposing to do?
So we want to start to apply a new genomic technology that will essentially capture, we say, the genomes, and the genome is all the genetic material that makes up a pathogen, so like a virus or a bacterium, or you and I also have genomes. And what COVID really represents is the first outbreak, I would say, of the genomics era, where we have all of these new technologies that we can start to rapidly deploy to not just detect it, but start to understand its genome, and then also detect other viruses' genomes and eventually bacteria as well. So our technology that we will be testing and working with our partners at the public health labs, several across Canada, will be taking samples from individuals who are infected with COVID, and then using this technology to rapidly screen for other potential pathogens that may be causing infections as well.
Why hasn't something like this been done before?
It has. So this technology, I would say, has been developing over the past 5 years. The challenge is that there are so many different microbes that can cause infections. And of course, it's prohibitively expensive to test for each of them. They're so diverse, we don't even know the genetic makeup of a great many of them, especially in the viral world. So to develop a technology like this so that it can work in public health takes a lot of trialing and learning. And at this point, it's still, I would say, a little too slow, so we can't find answers in 24 hours to help identify potential co-infections or other infections. But it's through work like this that's supported by Genome Prairie and the Saskatchewan Health Research Foundation that we can start to use these technologies in direct partnership with our partners in public health, so academic public health partnership, and be able to start to deploy these types of technologies in public health. And they'll only get faster and better as we do more and more work like this.
How do you think this might change the way people are tested in the future?
Genomic-based testing for pathogens is certainly the future. I think our partners in public health and ourselves, we've recognized the amazing power of genomic technologies for informing rapid testing, so improving the way that we design rapid tests for pathogens, and then ultimately providing us so much more information about the pathogens as they infect us. So if I can give you an example with the COVID-19, so the virus that causes COVID is called SARS-CoV-2, and I said it's really a pathogen of the genomics era now, that I just checked this morning, and we have over 75,000 whole genome sequences for that virus. And that's happened just in the past 7 months because scientists around the world are able to sequence all of its genetic material. And that tells us a great many things about this virus. It allows us to track with great precision how it's spreading, so we can see transmission routes, how it jumps between continents and between provinces and what might be the sources of different outbreaks. It will also help us start to predict and forecast how it can mutate to evade or even respond to things like a vaccine when we have one, or different drugs that might be developed to treat it. So using this genomic information, we're able to learn so much more about the pathogen and even how it causes infection. So these types of technologies do two things very well for us. They help us identify the pathogens, but then they also tell us a lot about how those pathogens are spreading and evolving.
I mean, right now it's a bit of a crapshoot when you go into the doctor. I've got, you know, these symptoms, and it's like, well, it could be the flu, could be a cold. We're really not sure. Just, you know, ride it out and see what happens. Would we eventually be able to go in and get a test and immediately know, all right, this is the flu, you need to treat it this way, this is a cold, you can do this? Would that happen?
Ideally, I don't deal in many super certainties like that, but yes, that type of testing will get faster and faster, and with along with other technologies as well, right? So that we hear about antibody-based technologies, all of these can work together and certainly inform one another to improve the speed with which we can answer that question as fast as possible. Now, why I'm a little hesitant to give that certainty of, and I'm not going to say it's coming soon, but certainly we are working in that direction, is that when it comes to things like co-infection, we don't always know which is the microbe that might be causing a person to be sick. And maybe it is a combination, like you said in the introduction, that it can be multiple microbes that are attacking the person's system at the same time, and they're actually doing battle with multiple infections at the same time.
Talking about timelines, when are you hoping to have some sort of a test developed?
So the testing that we will do, essentially we're already able to put the pieces together, and we will be doing that over the next month, and working with the very first samples will be coming into my lab, where we will be doing the sequencing to look for these different pathogens. And to give you a sense of the scale of what this technology can do, as I said, historically we would have to focus very specifically and test, as you described, does this person have COVID? Does this person have flu? And then if they do have flu, which type of flu is it? And can we tell which strain of flu it is? That this test that we will start deploying this month will be able to identify, in theory, every virus that's known to infect the human lung, and we'll be able to get that typing, what type of virus it is, right down to some strain level identification. So we'll be able to start generating answers like that this month and optimize the workflow in preparation for the winter flu and cold season, when we anticipate there will be more outbreaks. So we anticipate we will have, like every winter, outbreaks on outbreaks. So there's going to be COVID circulating, and flu is maybe multiple different types of flu may be coming back. So that's when we really want to be able to roll out and do as many tests as possible to watch which types of viruses are spreading in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, our primary right. focus. And then, once we know better which types of viruses are spreading, that helps inform public health intervention. So how can recommendations be made to help people stop spreading these different viruses, as we're seeing with our response, our global response to COVID at the moment?
It's fascinating stuff, and you're right on the edge of it. Thanks very much for telling me about this morning.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.